Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. And we will choose to rejoice. Amen. Everybody has the power to choose. You can choose to be miserable. You can choose to be rebellious. You can choose to be obedient. You can choose anything you want. Not that all of our choices please God. But if you truly have a relationship with the Lord, your choices, there should be a motive behind your choices. And that motive is to please God, no matter what it is. Because if you don't have a motive or a desire to please God, then you have no relationship. That's how a relationship begins, a desire to please. Would you turn to the book of James in chapter 1? Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. You know, as we become more and more fighters for the presence of God and less fighters for our own presence, things begin to change. In James chapter 1, Jesus, if people would just really see Jesus who he is, it'd be totally different. So many people see Jesus as religious. They see him only as the Son of God. They see him only as Savior. They see him as provider. Something specifically he said, if you see me, you see the Father. And when we don't see him as Father, it breaks relationship. He said, no man comes to the Father except for through the Son, because the Son was also the Father. Again, the first desire God has for me and you is that we become his children. You know, when we just acknowledge God as only God, there's really not relationship, because there's a lot of people that follow a God, and there are many gods in people's lives. Some of them are themselves. We hear all kinds of stuff of higher power. People are worshiping doorknobs and so forth. Higher power, you got to have a higher power. No, you got to have the truth. See, I was looking for a God. When I began to look for truth, I found God. It totally was different, because my desire was to want to know truth. I wanted to know what the truth was. Who the heck am I? Why am I in this forsaken place? And where am I going? That's what my questions were in me, B.C. After A.D., hallelujah, but it didn't occur until I began to seek truth. See, every one of us is born into this realm to look for truth. When I began to seek truth, I found God. See, what happens is people begin to stop seeking. And when people begin to stop seeking, they lose relationship. They begin to pick up belief systems that are flawed. And when there's a flawed belief system, it promotes flawed perception. Because as a person believes, so he sees. And we're seeing tremendous amount of influence in these days that are trying to promote a flawed belief system. Jesus warned us about false prophets. He said, don't be deceived. Why? Because one of the first things that's coming on the scene that has been the big battle of everything has been false doctrine. Gods that promote demonic activity or rebellion, which are not gods at all. To keep us away from truth, by practicing truth, we're free. In this last days, there's so much influence. One of the things that is going to occur first is the battle between belief systems. And we're seeing that happen now. False religions battling one another. That's why the false prophet will come forth. He is being promoted first. So we are going to see all kinds of religious activities. We're going to see the area where people are going to fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, because that is going to be the influence of self. Again, remember we talked about three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of self that's influenced by the kingdom of Satan. And the only way out to have dominion over that is to walk in the kingdom of God, and that is established by the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. So many believers are still living in the kingdom of self, and it's causing problems. Because in the kingdom of self, it promotes a false belief system. It brings a compromise. It brings a complacency. It brings a dullness. It doesn't bring discernment or able to see things through. I'm telling you right now, one of the things that the Spirit wants to release into me and you is eyes of faith. Everyone say eyes of faith. Those are spiritual eyes. Eyes of faith. So that you and I see things all the way through according to the way God sees them, not according to the way we see them. You know, there's a place where you need common sense. But sometimes common sense has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. 1 + 1 in this realm equals 2. 1 + 1 in the other realm doesn't equal 2. It's different. It's a different language. It's a different way of living. See, so you and I got to come out. That's why he said, come out from among them and be separate. It isn't about the legalism of it. It's about the entanglements of it. It's about coming out from the demonic activity and living the way they do. So many people think it's just because of the laws. No, it's got nothing to do with it. It's coming out of the way they live in the area of the opposite of the character of Christ. Come out from among them. Don't be acting like Antichrist. Act like Christ. We know you can't come out among them in this realm. You still got to obey laws, don't you? Amen. There are things that there's laws there. What goes up comes down. But there's that place where you and I can come out from among them and be separate. And that's to release ourselves from the character and conduct of Antichrist and allow Christ's character to take us over. And that can only be done by his Spirit. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, would you read it with me, please? Therefore what? Therefore lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. So what he's saying is, look it, you need to cooperate with my word says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, this is powerful in verse 25. But he who looks, he who sees into the perfect law of liberty, the law of freedom, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. One of the things he's saying here, he who looks, that means eyes. He who sees spiritually, those are called eyes of faith. Seeing from the future will discern the present. Is everybody with me? When you begin to see from the future, you are able to discern the present. If you are not able to see from now, the future is what God's promises are, because his word is not bound by space and time. One of the things that we want to know, and so many people don't understand, times and seasons, things that are going on, not realizing that we are on the cutting edge of many things. Eyes of faith, seeing from the future to discern the present. This is the law of liberty which precedes all laws of understanding carnally. When we are blessed, it says, and whoever is a doer of these things is blessed. So many people only acknowledge blessing by materialism. Believe me, there's a lot of people that have materialism and they sure ain't blessed. In fact, they're cursed. Blessed is joy. To be blessed is to be free and be joyful. Joy. One of the things to be blessed and be joy, why? Because the presence of God is there. So you're able to see to the end of every result. Does everybody other understand it? Everything that's going on, you're able to see to the end of it. You're able to see to the end result of things. That's eyes of faith. And we're able to see to the end of the result of things because of the promises of God. Listen, one of the things that has to happen is our eyes need to be on him. So many times our eyes get swayed and drift. They become on ourselves. The only time your eyes should be on yourself is when you're doing self-examination. If you're not doing self-examination and exposing yourself, then your eyes cannot be on him. Because one of the things he always does is his light exposes everything. If we're not willing to expose it, he is. Amen? Eyes of faith, spiritual eyes, able to see from the future to discern the present. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9, let's speak it together, please. Hallelujah. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Stop. The Spirit searches all things, right? Okay. So the Spirit, you must cooperate with the Spirit to search all things. Now there's another cooperation that goes deeper. See, one of the things the enemy always wants to do is bring a limitation. It's wonderful to manifest in the gifts of the Spirit. It's wonderful to cast out devils, lay hands on sick. But there are other areas that are deeper in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are tools. They're the tools of operation. God wants to bring us deeper. And this is where he says. He says, but God has revealed them through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Then he says, yes, the what? Deep things of God. See, not many want to go deep. They're just content with the things of the Spirit, but not the deep things of the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might, that means you must cooperate, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What would you do if you didn't have a Bible? There's times when I want to take the Bible away from people because the only relationship they have is with a book and not the person. So it prevents them sometimes from truly hearing correctly and seeing correctly. What would we do? You know, the apostles didn't have a Bible. You know where the reliance was? On the Holy Spirit. And now there's battle over doctrine. You know what I'm saying? In verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which what? The Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual wisdom. This wisdom is not from below or from this world. This wisdom is from above. He said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. One of the things about to truly see is to discern. You can't discern without seeing the end result. Does everybody get it? You see, people are trying to discern without seeing the end result. You can't do that. Then you walk in assumption. That's why many people make decisions without seeing them all the way through. Because they're fulfilling the decision that is made without seeing through is only fulfilling self. It's not fulfilling the will of God. Only a decision made by seeing through fulfills God's will. Even Jesus said, well, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. We need to have the eyes of faith and come out of assumption in everything we do. Amen? Things that are spirit are for me and you. Again, not everyone wants to go deep. Many people are just content with salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Feeding, clothing, sheltering. But there's an area where God says, come to me. Come to me and let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let me show you who you really are. Let me show you what's really going on behind closed doors. Let me show you what really creation is about. Let me show you who I really am. See, the more you know him, the more you know who you are. That's why many people don't really know who they are, because they don't know him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the things of the Spirit that are revealed are for me and you. The deep things of the Spirit have nothing to do with me or you. I'm going to have to say that again. The things of the Spirit have to do with me and you. The deep things of the Spirit have nothing to do with me or you. It's all him. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry. again, God is trying to bring us through the eyes of faith. Faith. Spiritual sight. In verse 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, would you read it with me? Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So those are the things of the Spirit. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue or power, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of a divine nature. That is his character. It's no longer our nature. This is an eternal nature, an everlasting nature, a nature that pleases God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. To self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted. He doesn't have the eyes of faith. Even to blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, being even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? You won't stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the eternal, everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we may be partakers of the divine nature, able to see that divine nature, Christ's nature. Jesus said it, I don't do anything unless I see my Father first. In other words, Jesus was able to see things all the way through because he carried an eternal nature. Yes, he was God. He came to be the example. He said, when you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. Learn my ways. I'll bring you deeper. Even the three chambers of the tabernacle are levels of depthness. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and there's the most holy place. Every one of them is a different dimension, a different language, a different function, and a different purpose. Hallelujah. Partakers of divine nature, able to see all the way through, eyes of faith. A divine power, that's to overcome self. Lust, this lust that he speaks about, so many times people, when the word lust comes up, people think sexually. Lust is the desire of worldly ways. And what it does is lust is a desire of the worldly ways that promote self. It promotes self. But the eyes of faith see and understand. They are able to discern. Amen? 2 Timothy 2. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. In verse 1, somewhere around there. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2, 1. Let's read it together. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I guess grace here means God's plan. Be strong in fulfilling God's plan. It's not some mystical thing. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, faithful individuals. How many of y'all know God's looking for faithfulness? He's not looking for people that want to promote their agenda. He's looking for individuals that are willing to promote his. Commit these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. In other words, he's trying to say, look, let's get like-minded here. You, therefore, must what? Endure. Endurance. Too many people aren't willing to endure. Endure hardship. Hello. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, it wasn't going to be easy. I never seen boot camp be easy. It wouldn't be called boot camp. In verse 4. No one what? Engage in what? Warfare. Are you in warfare? Well, if you're not in warfare, you're in trouble. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That's why he says, come out from among them. What is he saying? Don't entangle yourselves with the character of Antichrist. How about rebellion? Isn't that a character of Antichrist? Yeah. How about selfish ambitions? Hello? That he may please, hello? That he may what? Please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen, God enlists us as a soldier. Not everyone completes the course. That's why he says, many are called, but few are what? Chosen. There's the called, the chosen, and the faithful. We still have too many frozen chosen. In verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to what? The rules. In other words, submits, cooperates. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you what? Understanding. In what? All things. So that you are able to see what? All things through. Oh, hallelujah. Good soldiers, faithful, self-denying, eyes of faith. They are kingdom bound, not earthly bound. Again, the affairs of this world is associated with the character of Antichrist. He says, don't be entangled with them. One of the things that we want to be able to do is carry the character of Christ, which is submission to his purpose and his call and not the will of man. It's amazing how many people can be submissive to their boss at work but not be submissive to the king that created them. It's amazing how many people can go on a football field, basketball field, court, or anything else and worship the pigskin. Shout for joy like crazy. Dress themselves up like maniacs. They're willing to make themselves look foolish, but yet they can't do it for God's presence because they're still bound to the kingdom of self. They haven't been cut loose freely yet. That's what God wants us to do. It doesn't make a person bad. It makes them deceived. Amen? Deception rules this earth. Philippians chapter 2. Eyes of faith. You know, I can't emphasize the critical time that we're in. One of the things that God is beginning to expose is the goat and the sheep, and hope that the goat gets a kick in the butt and become a sheep. In verse 1, therefore, if any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Listen, if you're not in God's presence enough, it's impossible to be like-minded. Listen, you may know this. You may be like-minded in the doctrine, but are you like-minded in the Spirit? Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of what? Others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself a what? No reputation. This is not about a reputation. This is not about a title. Titles don't get you in heaven. Titles only promote individuals. And God says what man promotes is the lowest thing to him. Oh, hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being a form of God, did not consider it robbery to be like God, but made himself of no reputation. How many times did he tell him, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody what I just did. Did he see it all the way through? Of course he did. He knew what they were going to do. But he prepared a way of escape every time. Soon as he said that, he knew what the next move of that person was going to be. And he already planned a way of escape so they couldn't catch him. Why? Because they wanted to kill him. Think about this. When he was in the garden and Adam fell, what did he say? Where are you, Adam? Like he didn't know. He was planning the next thing for Adam in his life and for his creation. Every decision you and I make, because he will not interfere with our free will, he sees what you're going to, the choice you're going to make, and he already plans. When I had my visitation, and when I had a visitation from an angel, that angel knew exactly what I was thinking. And in my visitation with the angel and even the Lord, before I could say anything, well, the angel is usually delayed. But in the presence of God, anything that you, before you can finish the thought, he answers you. Hallelujah. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? In the area that even the angels know what you think. Now, so would a fallen angel know what you think? Okay, so would his offspring know what you think? Amen. This foolishness and doctrines that a demon doesn't know what you're thinking, that's baloney. Carnal understanding, not the deep things. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. In verse 8, and being found in the appearance of as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the what? Point of death, even to the death of the cross. Wow. Love this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In other words, he just spoke about three kingdoms. Hello? The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of self, and the kingdom of God. Self-ambitions break a cord of like-mindedness. Does everybody get that? What's God trying to do? Bring us into like-mindedness. If you have a group of three or four or five people, or even if they're, again, like-mindedness, what's God trying to do? He's trying to release his purpose and his will to be produced, established, and operated in every fellowship. Each fellowship has a different function to produce. There's a certain territory that God has given to that fellowship. Not that he can't reach out all over through internet, but in that fellowship there should be a like-mindedness to know the purpose and will of God. One of the things that he wants us to do is, first of all, be like-minded with his character. Amen? We can't promote the divine nature without being like-minded with divine thoughts of God. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Hello? We've all fallen short. But there's an era where you and I are able to see things through according to the purpose and function that God has established in this house and in each house. Amen? Selfish ambitions in a group will break the cord of like-mindedness. In other words, then a person will be in that group trying to promote his own agenda instead of supporting the agenda that God has ordained there. He says you got to be willing to accept the call and purpose. That means you must be willing to fit into the mind and purpose that he has ordained for that place. Then we can see things all the way through. 2 Corinthians 3. When I was first saved and the Lord sent myself into a fellowship and my wife, we served there. And by serving there, being willing, what we did is we picked up their purpose in their call. We didn't go in there with a self agenda. We went in there to promote the will of God and purpose for that fellowship. And we served there and served there, and we got involved and so forth. And as we began to serve and fellowship there and promote their agenda according to the will and purpose of God, it began to change us. We began to see things differently. Because, see, when we have a self agenda, usually it brings blindness. So one of the things the Lord was beginning to do is allow us to see. And as we began, we continued faithful in that arena, then he said, okay, it's time to move on. And then when it was time to move on, he placed us in another place. And that was a temporary place. Until he finally said, I want you to start this. But I didn't leave a place, the first place when we left, permanently left, we were sent. The second place, God pulled us out of. But it was still a period of time of training. And then I went back to that pastor and spoke with him, and he blessed us. So in this, one of the things you always want to do is be sent, never just leave. And so many times people have their own agenda. And again, your self-agenda will bring blindness to you. And let me tell you, people, I want to serve God. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I've done this, and I've done that. Well, what you've done don't mean nothing what you're doing now. It's different. Never go back, go forward. Amen? Those were part of training. God is not asking us to go backwards. He's asking us to go forward. But if you're still having your self-agenda involved, he can't trust you. Because our agenda then is more important than his. And then our agenda becomes an idol. And what does he say? He says, if you're not willing to do what I'm asking you to do with a pure heart and all that, your heart, if you're not willing to take it seriously, I will put a curse on you. That's why some of the things that people have that have been blessed with have become curses. They become more of a hindrance than a blessing. How many times people have now, they're more concerned about saving their blessings than serving the Lord. Does everybody get that? Because their blessings have now become a curse, and it's a burden to them. So now they're doing everything they can to save their blessings. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 2 Corinthians? Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. I hope. Let's read it together. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by what? All men. You know, many times people will know what fellowship you're in. Why? Because you'll have another language to that place you come from. Does everybody understand that? Well, I get run across many people, and they said, man, I ran into some of your people from your fellowship. I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, because I know how they talk, and people come from your house. This is how they talk. But they talk about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. They're willing to pray for people. So you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ. Woohoo! Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. See, so many times one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you to a place where you're so reliant on yourself that it begins to bring blindness again. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, and the Spirit brings what? Life. So we are letters of the Spirit, carriers of eternal purpose, power, and truth, eternal presence, able to see according to His will and purpose, to fulfill the call and mission with eyes of faith. And this comes by cooperation with the Spirit to produce a like-mindedness with each other. He wants to lead us to greater things in the Spirit. Well, we're going to need wisdom, aren't we? Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Now, this scripture talks about as someone thinks. In verse 6, it says, do not eat the bread of a miser. It's a person that has one eye on evil. It's on both sides. Nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So as he thinks, so he is. Let me tell you, when you think, you see. Every thought has a vision, if you're really seeing it. So in other words, as you see, so you are. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. As you see, so you are. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as he sees you, or do you see yourself as the world sees you? Are you still living from the past? Then you're living in the flesh? Or are you living from the future, which allows you to live in the Spirit? For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. As he thinks, or as he sees, so he is. In Ephesians chapter 1. That doesn't mean that you're going to see yourself as prideful and arrogant. Hello? It means you're going to see yourself as humble as Christ was, with no reputation, willing to obey and do whatever it takes to fulfill His purpose and His will and not our own. Ephesians chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 15. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? How many of y'all want eyes of faith? Hallelujah. And you start looking in people's eyes. Man, you got eyes of faith? Uh-oh. Somebody's waving at me in that one. Hallelujah. Verse 15, let's speak it. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of him. Okay, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Why? So that what? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, so that you have the eyes of faith. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who follow or believe according to the working of his mighty power. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might. And dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Eyes of understanding are eyes of faith. Why? Because to see is to discern. To see is to interpret. And to see is to respond. See, when you do not see correctly, you react. So everybody got it? When, what are you reacting to? You're reacting from the old. That's why it's called react. You're reacting according to the old nature. But you respond, you're responding according to the new nature. But if you're not able to see it through, you begin to react because you're fighting for you. You're trying to prove you. You're trying to protect you. And you're trying to promote you instead of him. Matthew 7, hallelujah, eyes of faith. Man, we could go on for days with this. Did y'all pack a lunch? We'll have to pass out two pieces of bread for communion. Double shots. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get religious on me now. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? You'll know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from fig or thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. In other words, whatever tree you're eating from. That's what he's saying. Somebody, well, I can't bear bad fruit. Oh, really? What tree are you eating from, homie? You're manifesting all this garbage. You can walk in rebellion and doubt. That's not the tree of my dad. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will what? You will what? Know them. Know them by fruits. One of the first things that we want to see in someone's fruit is humbleness. So, you know, you don't have to look about doctrine yet. Check out humbleness, you know. And one of the things I always want to see is attitude. When you have the eyes of faith, we don't look at fruit. We go to the root. Does everybody got it? Eyes of faith look beyond the fruit and go to the root. Does everybody understand that? Other than that, your eyes are just the eyes of understanding, but not full. It's limited. People judge one another by fruit, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're all inspectors. But then there's more to it. And only the eyes of faith will be able to see that all the way through. In other words, that person's rebellious. Well, why? Usually it's self-agenda. Self-agenda's killer, man. Same thing as pride. Is everybody okay? In other words, what is the intent and motive? You'll be able to discern that if you have eyes of faith. Because people say one thing and do another, don't they? Oh, they may have a form of good fruit. But did you ever go to a place, and I've gone to a house where the fruit looks fantastic. It's in a bowl. And I almost go to bite it and find out it's fake. Can I have one of these? Yeah, go ahead. It's nothing but wax. See, so many people's fruits are wax. But you give a long enough time, it will melt. You hold that fruit long enough, it begins to melt. And the eyes of faith will allow you to see
through the fruit to the root.
Isn't that what we need to have now? What did he say? Many false prophets. There's many false doctrines. People are falling left and right. You know, one of the things I realized is that there is not enough hunger for God's presence. There's more hunger for knowledge than in his presence. That's why sometimes I'd like to take everybody's Bible and put it in a closet and say, let's get together for a week. And let's get the presence which declares the truth. And let's talk about what he said. Let's talk about what you see. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Almost done. About 20 more scriptures. Now, can you see it all the way through? Verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy. Listen, if you can't see it through, you ain't counting the joy, man. Hello? One of the things about seeing it through with the eyes of faith, you want honesty. See, because one of the things the eyes of faith expose is deception. It doesn't mean you're to expose it in everything you do, but you may know it. Amen? It doesn't mean you speak it. Sometimes you got to let the course run. There's many things the Lord reveals to me about individuals, and I don't do anything about it because I'm not told to. Although I'd like to take a Holy Ghost baseball bat and go slap him across the head, say, wake up, idiot. Do you see what kind of discord you're promoting and all kinds of garbage? And do you see what you're touching, agreeing with? These immoral men and women and call themselves Christians and all kinds of garbage. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. Why? Because I can see it all the way through. We see it through. It's when you can't see it through. See, now, if you're out there doing self-imposed stuff that's causing your trials and tribulations and torments, you can't see it anyways. You can't see what's going on. You're too busy involved in your self and self-agenda, still trying to maintain all the things that you own and everything else. Knowing that the testing of your faith, hello, the testing of your faith is also the testing of your vision, your sight, eyes of faith. I'm going to test to see if you can see. Knowing that the testing of your sight produces patience. If any of you lacks, but let patience have its what? That's endurance, isn't it? So you're going to go through stuff. You know, a car goes through a car wash. My wife all the time tells me, how can you see through those glasses? She's always cleaning my glasses. I guess I see through them. I don't know. He says, let the patience have perfect work that you may be perfect and complete in what? Lacking what? So that you're able to see. Let me tell you, this was all about, what did Jesus say? He said, I came to bring sight to the blind. Everything was about bringing sight. That's what the anointing does. Bring sight. But if any of you lacks wisdom, it's almost like he jumps to a whole other thing here. But he's backing it with wisdom. He's saying you can't see because you don't have any wisdom. And the wisdom comes from God's presence. It's not from knowledge. It's from God's presence. That's why he said this wisdom that I'm telling you is not of the world. It's from above, not from beneath. It's the other wisdom of the world is demonic. Oh, you can have all the wisdom of the world, know all of the things, even with all the things that the enemy's doing and everything else, and have all the stuff with the laws and legals and this and that and what UFOs are. And whatnot. But listen, the wisdom that you and I are looking for comes from above, regardless of what. That's what's going to give you sight. Wisdom directs understanding. Wisdom directs understanding. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and let it be given to him. But he who asks, but make sure you ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Many people ask and don't believe they'll get.
Well, Lord, I sure hope you heal me today. I sure hope.
No, it's, Lord, I believe. See, hope has doubt in it. Hello? Now, there's times when we don't know something. Somebody may say something, you know, I hope it is. It's because it's unknowing. I don't know what it is, you know. But we know the promises of God. You know, there was a woman that has had a visitation from the Lord, born again, filled with the Spirit, and walking with God, and so forth. And it was brought across our path that she's dying. She has cancer. And she asked people, don't worry about me. Don't pray for me. I'm going home. I want to go home. It's God's will for me to go home. Now, you can argue all you want that God, how does he get glory in that? I would say he gets glory in it by the faith that that woman stands. I would even think that there'd be more glory in that than healing. But see, if you don't have the eyes of faith, you can't see it. Does everybody understand that? Now, you may argue, well, that ain't God's will. He said to heal. Well, let me tell you, when you go home, you're healed. Right, Rick? I went into a hospital and prayed for someone, and the nurses were in there, and I said, well, praise God, he's going to get healed. He's either going to get healed here or healed when he goes home. So praise God. It's victory either way. The nurses freaked out. But they thought it was powerful. They never heard anyone say that. So there was an impartation to them, knowing that there's healing going home. There's nothing shameful about going home. There's nothing shameful about dying. It's a part of glory. Hello? What's shameful is dying before your time because of rebellion or disobedience. Wisdom directs understanding. Proverbs 2. Oh, glory. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, my daughter, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, hello, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Reverence, honor, and respect, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come under knowledge and understanding. Again, the Lord gives wisdom, comma. Why? Where's that wisdom come from? His presence. Okay, so then it says, but from his mouth come what? Knowledge and what? Understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good thing. Wisdom. Revelation 3. And we'll close here. Eyes of faith. You know, until you see it through, the only thing you can do is assume. But when you see it through, you know the end result. You live from the future, not from the past. We respond, not react. Rebellion is react. Disobedience is reaction. Verse 17, Jesus says something very powerful. He says, because you say I am rich and I have become wealthy and I need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind. Again, he puts that blind in there. And naked. I counsel you to buy from me what? Gold refined in fire, that you may be what? Rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And do what? Do what? Anoint your eyes with salve, that you what? That you may see. That you may see. The anointing. The anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty will bring sight. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to you today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring your tithes and offerings up.